Welcome back to the short course on So You've Been Asked to Speak Somewhere. Last time we were looking at, you know, what makes an effective introduction, and we saw that there are these aspects to the introduction. One, that you want to gain credibility for yourself, but you want people to grab onto the theme. You want to hook them into their attention so they want more. There are these purposes of an introduction that will make your speech effective, and so you spend time crafting an effective introduction. Well, last time, you know, we looked at the first two of these on the screen. A story will do that very well. You can use a variety of stories. Now, somebody asked me when I was recently teaching this at the CLI convention, you know, where do you get this stuff from? Where do you get stories? You can get them from online, from, you know, illustrations from like sermoncentral.com, other places. You can put in, you know, story about the will of God. You can find it there. You can find it in books that you would study about, you know, the will of God or whatever subject you are looking at. You gain them from your own experience, the time when you were struggling with the will of God or whatever. A variety of ways to get a story. An intriguing question is one that maybe will come to mind as you are preparing your message. And so you approach a passage of Scripture in such a way because you say, you know, I got these questions for God. I've got these questions for God. Recently, someone asked, is God angry with me because things are going wrong in their life? That's an intriguing question to share. You know, look at all these things that went wrong with, you know, losing a job and, you know, an eye disease and dot, 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 that you start wondering what went wrong. Well, so those two are powerful. You can get them from a variety of sources. But they're powerful. Now, to go on to the next one, a shocking truth. Sometimes when you shock people, they're grabbed. They want to know more. And this could happen in a variety of ways. I was preaching on leaving a legacy, and we were in a building program in the last church that I served. And one of the areas where we especially needed room was in our middle school ministry. It had grown from about two or three students to over 50 over a period of time. We had a dynamic teacher in that group. And so she was in a room that was designed for 12 students. And so she had it all arranged, you know, that one group would sit on the floor, the next group would sit on bean bags, the next group would sit on low stools, the next group would sit on high stools, and the next group would stand up. And so that's how she was trying to organize her class and keep this ministry going. And so we were in a building program, and one of the things we were going to do was try to supply more room for middle school ministry. Well, we asked her to do the introduction to the message, to share some of her vision for ministry. And she got all of her students in. So there's about 50 students, and they're sitting in one part of our sanctuary. At that point, the worship center that we were in, held about 500 people. And so you bring 50 in, you've got 10% of the church, you know, occupied by the middle school kids. And she began talking about the percentages. Now, you know, the percentages change, but in our country, you know, there is definitely a post-Christian feel to what's going on here. And one of the things that people have noted is that as kids grow up in the church, when they go off to college, they often lose their faith. In fact, a huge percentage of them are doing that. And so she just sharing those statistics, shocking truth. And then to emphasize how shocking it was, she asked that percentage of the kids, and they'd already been identified, to leave. And so you get this huge group, which was more than half the group, standing up and walking out of the sanctuary. Whoa, I didn't have to do much to introduce my shocking truth that day. Because people caught on, and we talked about leaving a legacy, and what does the church have to do to prevent that from happening? And people were ready to listen, and they responded. They responded by we did two different building expansions during the next several years that I served there. That kind of shocking truth. Another shocking truth that I've shared in messages in this area where I live is the fact that 47% of the people in this community, 47%, have no meaningful connection to any religion. Now, you know, I shared that with a group where I was preaching as a guest preacher in a church. That's 47%. Just imagine, almost one out of every two people. If you walk down the main street of the major town in this area, You want one out of every two people is headed toward hell. Now, what do we have to do as a church? What ministries do we have to begin? How do we have to look at ministry in a more positive way that will reach those people? What's effective in turning this around? What's effective in engaging revival? But it was the shocking truth that began that of 47% not connected with any meaningfully with any religion, not just Christianity. So that kind of shocking truth. Now, one word about a shocking truth, and that is you better make sure it's accurate. Yeah. I'm recording this in 2021 in the United States, and you know, if you're any familiar with the politics here, we've had all kinds of shocking truths being claimed as fact, but when you start exploring them, you find out it's not true. So when you are going to use a shocking truth, make sure you do the study, because there's a lot of fake news out there, and when you get enough fake news out there, people stop believing it, and they'll start tuning you out. And if you overuse this method, if you overuse the whole idea of shocking truth, people will start to tune you out because people get tired of being shocked. So shocking truth can do this well. The next category is humor. You can use humor very well in introducing the message. Now, a couple words about humor. One is, again, you can't overuse it. And two, you've got to make sure that it is focused on your message. There's one famous preacher whom I won't name, but his approach every week is that he begins his message with a joke. And it's a joke he's heard, it's a joke he's looked at. I don't know where he gets his jokes. But it's just a joke. That's all it is. It has no relation to the message he's about to bring. And he just says, you know, I like to start my messages with a joke. Well, you know, that is not fulfilling the purpose of the introduction. You remember those purposes? To get people's attention, to make them want more, to gain credibility for you, to introduce the theme. That's not doing it. There is a way you can use humor to do that. And it's a worthwhile thing to do. Recently I was preaching on the prayer of Jabez. It's a little known passage in the Old Testament, but it's a prayer, and it says at the end, God granted his request. So this is a prayer that we should learn something from. But I introduced it with a story of it's a fanciful story, but it's two little boys who are staying with their grandparents, and it's nearing Christmas, and they're having a sleepover. And according to the tradition in that family, when these two little boys went to bed, they would kneel by the side of their bed and they would pray. And so that was what they did. And the one boy started praying really loudly. Dear God, for Christmas, I want a new bike. And I want a Nintendo Switch. And he started making this list in a real loud voice. And his brother looked at him and said, What are you doing? He says, God isn't deaf. And the other boy replied, no, God isn't deaf, but Grandma is. And people laughed. But then I could jump into, how does God answer prayer? What kind of prayers does God answer? Intriguing question, right? And I had people hooked, and hooked into the message. It's one of my favorite messages. So, yes, you can use humor very, very effectively. Now, where do you find humor type things? Where do you find those bits of humor that can effectively get people hooked into your message? Again, it comes through reading, through listening, through making connections, through places like SermonCentral.com or ProPreacher or whatever. You can just find them a variety of places. But make sure if you're going to use humor that it is connected to your message. It's not just out there on your own. So there's a variety of ways that you can introduce your message. And these are ways that will accomplish those purposes of gaining credibility for you, but introducing the theme, hooking people into your message so that they want more. And use them well. Now, sometimes you don't do the introduction first. Sometimes you'll do the message first, at least I've found that often, and then I'm into the body of the message, and then I'll say, okay, how can I introduce this more effectively? Next time we're going to start talking about how you organize. Let's say you either do the introduction first or you're doing it later, either way. But how do you, when you have a body of information that you want to present, how do you present that in an organized way that people can follow and people can experience just the joy of being with you along the way? So we'll see you next time.